The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
So unfortunately, as we talk Michigan basketball, they have been on the receiving end, fellas, of some career high scoring performances. Unfortunately. Now,
like all five games in the Big Ten.
Now, fortunately, though, all those games haven't resulted in losses. Like, you know, there are some statistical models or strategies that say you let that guy go off, the other guys aren't going to beat you. That actually worked against Iowa the first time around. As Luka Garza goes off.
I mean, did it? They scored 91
points.
but again, Michigan won the game, and my recollection was they did so quite comfortably. That, yes, yeah. Iowa went off, but Michigan was never really threatened in that context.
But it wasn't, the defense didn't have much to do with that. I mean, it was the fact that we played good offense, and Iowa has
56-55.
And Iowa's dreadful on defense.
Okay, so I guess my point is no one else did anything. He went off. Mm-hmm. Whatever they wanted to say about hey, you know, playing that guy and, you know, or guarding other guys straight up, not helping off of them and letting Garza go off, it worked in the final analysis. They won the game.
Yep.
But as you move away from home, you look at the analytics driven strategies against Trevion, against Daniel Oturu or Cassius Winston, for instance.
Or Coburn, or Trevion Williams. Trevion Williams has scored in his first 16 games this year, was in double figures six times. And he put up 36 and 20 rebounds.
Yeah, so there was nothing in the numbers that to suggest that Trevion Williams was going to do that.
Right.
Well, there was something in the first half numbers.
True. Okay, so that's where I'm going with this. So it is very clear that Juwan Howard is super into analytics. That is like his thing. And Tim McCormick makes this point all the time. Coming from the Miami Heat, that's how he was – That's how he was brought up.
That's great.
But as you get in the war, as you get in the battle, and Trevion Williams is doing his thing, is going to work, or Daniel Oturu, didn't he score 20 of his points? I think it was like 20 in the first half.
He
had 30.
When he's going off, you know, just kind of deviating from the plan and saying, hey, you know what, guys, we're going to try something different. We're going to run something different at this guy to kind of disrupt him. That's the part that I think we need to see and are going to see moving forward, hopefully starting with the Iowa game. Curious what you guys think.
Well, so analytics on the NBA level is one thing, and analytics in college where players can be a lot more variable is another. So the Purdue game was especially frustrating because they play Nojel Eastern and Aaron Wheeler for a ton of minutes, and Nojel Eastern is 0-3 from 3 on the season, and Aaron Wheeler is shooting 22%. So, like, if that's not a situation where you feel like you can help,
right?
Like, what is a situation where you feel like you can help?
Yeah, I was thinking in the Minnesota game, help off everybody except Kalscher.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, Carr is like a 31% three-point shooter. They might get some looks. But also, like, Michigan is running a defense that statistically is fairly similar to what they were doing last year, but they're worse at everything. And the thing that really kind of jumps out is they're like in the 300s in turnovers forced. And I think and last year they were in like the 220s or whatever, and that's fine. Yeah. But the rebounding's also worse, so they're the worst team in the Big Ten at shot volume.
Yeah. Well, what's very clear is that what they hold as the highest priority is limiting three-point attempts. They limit three-point attempts at all costs.
But I think there's an evolution to that, because what the Bucks ended up doing – was they're like, all right, we're going to eliminate three-point shots, but we're going to absolutely eliminate corner threes, but we maybe will give you like a top-of-the-key three if your guy's 34% on average. And I think that maybe, hopefully, is the evolution that we'll see from Juwan, right? I mean, we've already talked about this. It makes a lot of sense. Not everyone can shoot, and there's more, like Brian said, there's more variability in college. But I also wonder if, you know, Juwan, you know, I think there were these stories of Coach K his first year. His team was terrible. And I don't think he won his first 3 years at Duke. which I don't think is possible in this day and age, but, you know, he wanted to instill an attitude knowing that he was going to get better players coming in. And I wonder if that mentality is kind of playing something. Because let's face it, John Teske's not a good post defender.
All right. Wait, did you hear the pregnant pause there? I heard the pregnant pause. All eyes on Craig Ross.
I'm not sure about that. I mean, last year, he was unbelievable.
So I actually,
but
he was playing in a completely different. I mean, personally, I can't stand drop defense.
Mm-hmm. But that's
Go ahead.
The problem is the fact that he gets one-on-one on the post, and now people are eating him up.
Yeah.
And last year, that was not the case. He went one-on-one. I mean, Michigan didn't help on Ethan Happ. Michigan didn't help on Bruno Fernando. Yeah. And he fought those guys to a standstill. Like, Happ was 9-19 in one game.
Yeah,
he only got over, like, 100 O-rating.
Remember Happ having a pretty good
He only got over 100 O-rating in one game because he had 7 assists, which is not on Teske. So, you know, if you go back and you look at all of the bigs in the Big Ten who you could say are top-level guys last year, there was one guy who got him in one game, and that was Luka Garza at Carver-Hawkeye. Every other game where he's getting zero help, he's doing very, very well. And then you come into this season, and people are just lighting him up.
And I think that's what – I think it plays into – you know, it's a big part of why I think Jalen's head is where it is with Teske and X. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are your two vets, your two leaders, and two guys who have established themselves as really good defenders. And so you have a great deal of deference to that on the floor. I'm going to say, X, you got to D up Peyton Pritchard. You got to D up Peyton. And I feel like it's going to happen. Eventually, X is going to D up Peyton Pritchard, and it didn't happen. And Teske, you know, you're going to go man-to-man against Coburn. You're going to go man-to-man against Trevion Williams. You're going to go man-to-man against Oturu, thinking that at some point that it's going to match up with what he was last year. And unfortunately, it hasn't, which is why, hey, you got to adjust. You got to adapt. Yeah. And that means that maybe you got to run some help, you know, to whoever it is, Teske, toward whoever it is John is guarding now.
You know, Teske had 8 points early in the Purdue game, and then Purdue just doubled him out of the offense. You know, and they didn't win that game because they couldn't shoot, but, like, the ability to do it had been baked into Purdue's defense, and then they forced usage to other people. And on Michigan's team, you know, that's not a huge win. But, like, for Iowa, for especially Minnesota, you got to force usage to people who aren't the best player on that team.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah, okay, the level of shots that they're going to get in a NBA context where it's pretty even throughout the league might be worse. But in college, where you got like Bakari Evelyn out there who won't take a shot in any circumstance whatsoever, like you need to take advantage of the holes that other teams are presenting you and force the best player to take a step back.
The other thing is, I wonder if the data is a little bit of a flat earth theory is applied. Because if you look at the Big Ten this year, 3-point shooting is way, way down. I mean, I'm looking at the numbers in Big Ten games, and teams basically in the 20s, and only maybe two teams that are more efficient from three than two at this point, and we haven't played those teams. And I think it's Northwestern and somebody else, but we haven't played. I don't know. But the reality is, against Michigan right now, teams are shooting 27.5% from three. And, you know, 54% from two. So, I mean, we should be given, you know, I'm not sure that giving up twos at this point is a way to win games.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that doesn't work out from an efficiency point of view. And so I agree with Brian that things have context. It's not just the broad brush of numbers as to what threes are made in the NBA, for example.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on in the Big Ten? What goes on with Purdue? Purdue can't shoot the ball. They got one guy who can shoot the ball, Stefanovic, and Eli did a good job on him.
And Michigan actually ran, you know, late in the Purdue game, they actually ran a couple double teams at Trevion Williams. Like, wow.
Late
Eureka.
In the game, yeah.
Eureka, right?
And they were.
You know, they actually have. But, you know, the other thing, and Tim McCormick brought this point up as a big man himself, who has been in, you know, has faced a similar circumstance where he's, you know, you're in a matchup where a guy is just giving it to you. And he said, look, you know, I worry about even as a senior, you know, when you get, gotten like that by that many guys, does it start to work on your confidence a little bit? He said even for a senior, that can happen. And he went into great detail on the Michigan Basketball Insider this week. And be sure to check it out wherever you get your podcast. But I think there's something to that too. You gotta be mindful of affecting a guy. I mean, it was a journey to the confident Teske that we've seen here, you know, the prior 2 years. I mean, they had to build him up to that. And so you don't want to have a regression based on this bludgeoning. Well, from, like you said, you laid it out. I mean, it's like every guy. It's like, you know, good right. grief. Yeah, so, and I mean, it's even seen ahead, Caleb Wesson yet.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think part of it is, you know, Xavier and Teske are taking much more responsibility on the offensive side. So they're the two highest usage guys on the team, whereas they were like role players last year, right? And there's only so much energy you can spread around. I mean, I think that's part of it, that we haven't seen this team. I mean, basically, this team has slid on defense and has gotten better on offense, or at least compared to expectations.
Yeah. And I, you know, I think we're actually going to see. I mean, Juwan, after the Minnesota game, seemed like he was like, no, I'm looking at this. We are absolutely not, you know, married to one way to play. Mm-hmm. Now you got several data points, right, that says,
right.
You know, we need to try something to kind of take some of this pressure off of John.
Well, the number one data point to me is that right now Michigan is the worst defensive team in the Big Ten. Number 14 in Big Ten games.
Yeah, but that's small sample size.
Small sample size, 3 of 5 games, you know, but still, it's what's happened.
I mean, if you look at the season and just strength of schedule, they're very average on defense right now in the Big Ten. And they're, you know, top three on offense. And I mean, so I think that's the way they want to play this year.
I mean, not having Isaiah hurts. It hurts. I mean, yes. There's no question about that. And I think perhaps everyone underestimated how valuable...
No. As soon as that happened, I was like, well, there's... And that Michigan State game is gone.
Yeah, on defense, obviously on offense, but on defense too. I mean, you think about, you know, a guy who has the versatility to guard multiple positions. He's the one. He's the one that you have.
Yeah, Michigan's on-off splits with Livers are huge. So he's worth, I mean,
yeah,
0.2 points per possession when you take out the guarantee games.
Is that on offense?
No, like overall.
Okay, because obviously on offense, if you're taking a guy who's hit half of his threes,
well, and then, I mean, you think about even in the Minnesota game, all the good looks, the open looks that they missed. You know, did you make a few more of those?
We gotta talk about playing Eli Brooks less. I think.
Yeah.
I
mean, let's go to the phones. Talk to Eric in South Carolina. Eric, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, Sam? What's going on, guys?
What's up?
Hey, now you know me and Brian joked about this over the last 5 years, saying that Michigan needed to get more athletic at the five spot. I think teams just got film on John Teske, and they realize he can't jump higher than 6 inches.
I mean, I think that there might be a little bit of something to that, in that Teske was closer to his ceiling last year than Daniel Oturu. Like, Oturu is a beast this year, and Teske's, you know, he's doing a little bit more in the post, but, like, athletically... he's not on the same level. So there's certain things that, you know, the Oturu can get better at that Teske can't keep pace with.
But I think part of what we've seen from what I think John Teske is best at is moving his feet, hedging ball screens.
Yes.
He was elite at that. I've never seen a 7'2 guy do that.
Me neither.
And now we're not taking advantage of that.
How many post-ups did he eat last year without any help and do a really good job? It was a lot in every game, and so I don't necessarily just buy that. Like he was a
you
bad...
don't buy that he's an elite.
No, I don't buy
moving
that,
his feet on
I
hedging
don't
ball
buy
screens?
That he's a guy who is a bad post defender, or at least wasn't last year, and now I mean I don't know. It's inexplicable. It's a regression, and I understand that he maybe wasn't going to be as good as he was last year because the opposition is ramped up, but for him to go from last year to this year is. Wow.
I mean, I think there's some randomness in the equation. I mean, Oturu made some shots that he's not generally going to make.
That's not true. Because Oturu is a 35% three-point shooter. He was 1 of 2. And 13 of his 16 twos were at the rim.
Yeah, okay. But, I mean, he also made some a couple of mid-range jumpers against Teske that were well-checked.
You can't.
He didn't make them last night.
I guess when I talk about helping help me sending help for Teske. I'm not talking about every single time, and I'm certainly not talking about when the guy, you know, faces him up or catches the ball at the 3-point line and, you know, either shoots or puts it on the deck. I'm just talking about when he's in the post. You know, it's hard to double on the guy when he's facing the guy, but when his back to the basket, having a guard or, you know, a wing kind of dig down on him, that's when the opportunities really present themselves. That's when I think they really need to try to help him a little more. Not every time, but just some to give the opposition a different look. And as Tim McCormick, who talked a lot about this on the podcast this week, said, give them something to think about.
Yeah.
But, you know, make them have to think about what's going to come at them down the court, not know every single time, hey, it's one-on-one, you know, whenever I get the basketball. So let's go back to the phones, talk to Mark in Lansing. Mark, what's up?
Hey guys. I love this segment of the show. And then let me tell you, one reason I do is because I am so opposed to analytics as explaining everything. Because you can cherry pick them as you want to fit whatever narrative you want to come to. I'm watching John Teske last year. And, Brian, you want to suggest that he was a good defensive player based on analytics last year. If you watch these games, and you even watch the games last year, they throw the ball into the paint. One of the first things I notice when I'm watching a guy being defended by another guy is how aggressive and how much his eyes light up when he catches that ball. And whether it was Hap last year or the four or five guys this year, it doesn't really matter who they are. They're going right at him. And they're going right at him because they're not concerned at all about his ability to play defense. And they're putting up prolific numbers. And fortunately, the statistics bear that out. To the point where, to my second point, you said that Purdue immediately doubled Teske out of his post play. Well, that was easy. That's baked in. It's baked into Purdue. It's not baked into Michigan, which brings me to my third point. Why is it not baked into Michigan to have a counter for what's going on right now? The suggestion that we don't want to somehow impact Big Sleep's aggression or his confidence is crazy. He's getting killed. If anything, his confidence is being destroyed by virtue of the fact
that's the point. That's the point. That's the point.
Yeah.
Not wasn't saying you affect his confidence adversely by sending help. Saying you're helping his confidence by giving him some help and you know, kind of lessening the bludgeoning that he's been taking lately.
Yeah, I also want to thanks, Mark. I also want to take up something that Ed says, because I believe this completely. Last year, I mean, I sit right under the basket. I watch, you know, I watch what Teske did on the hard hedge or any hedge, soft hedge, whatever kind of hedging they were doing, and he was a miracle at it. He managed to cover the ball handler and, if necessary, cover back up against the roll guy. I mean, and he was so good at that. I've never seen anyone that size that good at it, and that's gone. And so you've taken away the thing on the court that Teske does best. And put him in something where he's not quite as comfortable. And so, to me, I mean, I think that was Ed's point, and I think it's right. You know, it's odd to me. I don't know what's going on in the NBA, but when the Fab Five played here, they doubled on the post like demons, and they were absolutely great at it because they had guys who could cover up at the three, and they did a great job of covering up at the three. The Fab Five, to be honest, it's probably a better defensive team than they were offensive team.
All right, so Mark, here we go. You don't believe in analytics. I'm going to give you a prediction. So first of all, the reason why Juwan doesn't cover guys is to prevent three-point shots, and they've been amazing at that.
Okay, so pause. Oh, I'm going to give you – I got the break signal like 2 minutes ago. So I'm going to give you the floor when we return. We'll start off with Ed Fang making this point. We got to get to a break. Back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket.